This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 10 o'clock. Time for a midday party with Rick and John.
Hey, we want
some... Oy, 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 oy.
Rick Kamblaugh.
How's your hip swivel?
And John Michaels. Get you through the work week with a sports insight you can't find anywhere else. Two serious and focused broadcasters who can... I almost got through that. They may act like children, but their passion for the game is above anything else.
I keep it real.
Buckle up, Atlanta. This is Rick and John, and the party starts now.
We made it, y'all. We made it to a party Friday in the A. It is a rivalry Friday, a rivalry weekend, baby. Atlanta United and Orlando City. We got Braves games to watch the next 3 days as well, and tons of fun to have. Rick Kamla, John Michael, saying hello to you, Atlanta, in the Kia Studios here on the home of the Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United. Sunday's game will be right here. And, John, let's settle in, and I want to talk cleanse.
Okay.
Here at the top of the show.
Really?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm cleansed.
How's your cleanse rolling?
It's rolling. I mean, dude, I feel good. Let's just say I'm regular right now is the best way you can put it.
Regular.
Yeah.
Frequent trips. And you know what, John? The timing of your trips has been a little different. There seems to be a little bit more urgency when Mother Nature knocks on the door. Is that correct?
There is. You know, many people know I've lost about 18 or 19 pounds.
Way to go,
John. Well with that.
Way to go.
Just about to hit the 20-pound mark, so I'm feeling good with that. Continuing my workouts at 9 Round Fitness, which is great. Up there in Lawrenceville, if you get a chance, run by. Talk to my people, Ricky and Erica. They're great folks. It's an unbelievable workout. 35 minutes if you only want to go once, an hour if you want to go twice. It's great. But I wanted, like, when you eat healthy, your body kind of rejects you at first, and then it holds on to all these nutrients that it hadn't been getting in a long time. So your cycle is not the same. So I got one of these 7-day herbal cleanses, and day one, it's like, yeah, well, whatever, we're good. I'm in, like, day six, and when you got to go, you got
to
go.
It's a cleansing situation. Now, I want to take this to social media as well. And I'll ask you in a second. I did a Twitter cleanse last night, a Twitter purge, if you will, because I had like 890 people that I was following. That's too many. There's all this crap in my timeline.
Yep.
I want to find out about the Dogs and the Braves and our local teams, and then maybe the Adam Schefters and stuff like
sure.
that. So I had to purge it. So a lot of sports writers and reporters and TV people got axed.
Really?
Yeah. And the thing was, if you weren't following me, you got axed.
Mm.
If you were following me, then it's kind of hard to unfollow you. So then I just kept the relationship going. But if you weren't following me, you pretty much got the axe and you got cleansed. It was ball players. It was writers. And stuff like that. So I had to play the follow game last night, and my Twitter account is perfectly cleansed right now.
I have done that from time to time because you'll follow and you'll go, oh, this guy has one thing or this girl has one thing and I want to follow her or him. And then you realize that they're not really anybody you're interested in somewhere down the road, and they write crap articles or they have too many hot takes or whatever. So I'll do that from time to time. Usually about once a year I'll be sitting on a Falcons bus and I'll go, all right, it's purge time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just go through unfollow, unfollow, unfollow. Or you have way too many political tweets, you're retweeting all this political nonsense, or you've got some cause that I'm not really concerned about, and that's the only thing you tweet about, you
got
to go.
Yeah, for example, like Ashton Kutcher got dumped last night.
Why would you be following Ashton Kutcher to begin with?
Somebody told me back in the day that you should follow the super famous people with tons and millions of followers because then you'll get more followers.
Well,
I don't know how that transaction occurred.
Well, here's how it happened.
But that's why I did it.
So if you follow Ashton Kutcher and retweet something of his or mention him and somehow it gets picked up in his timeline, potentially somebody can see you and then want to follow you. That's why.
Got you.
That's why you always want to tag the Falcons when you do stuff, tag the Braves, tag Atlanta United, because if somebody is searching for their feed, your name could pop up and they go, ooh, I'm associating Rick Kamla with the Atlanta Falcons. Boom, let me follow him and see what he's all about.
So, look, Mark Owens is our guy. He's the president of the Midday Show with Rick and John.
He's not
here.
He is
gone.
Is he really
our
guy?
Is at the beach. And in his stead, we have DJ CCV, who is a party everywhere he goes. Good morning, CCV.
What up, fellas? You guys good? I'm good.
Now, did you and Mark have to go to the corner offices and manipulate y'all's vacation? Because you've been out of the state like 9 of the past 10 weekends. This is the first Friday I think you've been here in 2018.
In a swimsuit, too, John.
Yeah, and you don't have swim trunks on today. And Mark, he's off every other Friday. Like, is there something that you two have to kind of manipulate to make sure you guys get the right vacation days?
Not really. It's more like you can't see Batman and Bruce Wayne at the same time, so you either get one or the other. You just can never get both. So that's how we roll, man.
I love it. An early superhero reference. Preacher, man, we're all feeling for you, man. I turned it on late last night. I believe John did as well. Checking out Game 7. And we're sorry it didn't go your way, brother.
You know, it is what it is. They crapped it down their leg, and they got what they deserved. Plain and simple. They played like crap, and they got beat. That's how it works.
I want to ask people, and we're talking about hockey last night. It's the Winnipeg Jets beat Nashville. And I think a lot of people in Atlanta had kind of adopted Nashville once the old Thrashers went away. Are people cheering for the Jets secretly because that is the old Thrashers?
I don't believe so.
Or are they kind of giving the double middle finger salute to Winnipeg?
There were actually people from Atlanta that were in Nashville for game one of Series 2 starting with the Jets when I was there with Winnipeg jerseys on.
Interesting. I mean, look, it's only a couple hours away in terms of 2.5, I don't know, drive to Nashville. Nashville's an unbelievable city.
Depending on where you drive from.
Now,
bro,
if you're
thinking of Chattanooga.
If you're with Mike Bell, it's 2.5.
No, I was thinking about Chattanooga, my bad.
I've made it in 3, but that's just me.
And
I know, wait, you got one more thing. When we were in Chick-fil-A, as we were leaving, really? A nice young lady that was sitting in there.
What happened?
Recognized one Johnny Michaels and said, ask him where his carrots were as he was leaving with a bag of Chick-fil-A food.
So I did get the egg white grill this morning.
Did you
fairness.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
He did.
And I also took care of CCV. Cause
welcome back to real food, John.
No, I can eat
I wouldn't really
food.
Call that real food. It's more like cardboard with something in the middle.
Yeah, the egg white grill, it's not as tasty as the other stuff, but it's healthy.
The egg white griller, or whatever it's called, supplanted one of the great sandwiches in American history, the spicy chicken breakfast sandwich at Chick-fil-A.
Well, we now know CCV is the Rick Kamla of producers.
What do you mean?
Because I said, Craig, I got you this morning. Cool. So he goes up and orders. He goes, let me get a number 5, but let me get chicken instead and then re-add bacon. He goes, and do you have that special Gouda? Can I get Gouda on?
I want the 5, but really the 1 and put everything the 5 has on it.
I'm with my guy.
Ridiculous.
Here.
Order
we're the
what's
customer.
Up there.
We're the customer. It's our money. I'll get it the way I want.
And the manager down there, she goes, I'm so sorry that your food took forever. No, blame him because my food would have been ready this quick. His order took an extra 10 minutes.
That's what's up.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Well, we'll start with the Atlanta Braves, and they just keep rocking, and keep rolling, and they win. Well, you're supposed to beat the Marlins, let's be real. But they did just that. Mike Foltynewicz again last night doing his thing, and the Braves, they win again.
Ozzie Albies goes granny last night. CCV, do you have the granny? Let's hear it.
High fly ball hammered deep to right. Anderson's not going to get it. That ball is gone.
Let's go.
A grand slam for Albies.
Chip Carey on Fox Sports Southeast. Grand slam. How cool was that? He had another RBI. Five RBI in the game. Freddie had 5 hits last night.
Yeah.
And it
on
was
my
a,
fantasy team.
It was a pitcher's duel until the 5th inning. Caleb Smith was nibbling and doing his thing. Crafty left-hander throwing us off a little bit. And then we got to him and chased him. Didn't blow him up. But once we got to that bullpen, man, we blew them all the way up. And Fulte got the win, baby. Only went 5 innings, John. Wasn't terribly efficient, but, got the job done, man. Got the win, and here we go.
And the thing is with Mike Foltynewicz, and really all the Braves starting pitchers, you get through 6, you feel like you've accomplished something. This right now is a 5-6 inning staff, and Julio Teheran's had an outing or two where he gets into the 7th inning. But that's why that back end of the bullpen, and Luis Gohar actually gets a chance to pitch last night, which is really nice. But you're going to need guys. You're going to need arms because you don't have starters that are getting you into the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning.
Alex Anthopoulos wants to break in hotshot prospects, starting pitchers via the bullpen. And John's been talking about Luis Gohara and getting him in there. And last night, 3 innings, did give up a run, a couple of walks, 2 hits. he gave up a home run, but a decent debut, right? Mm-hmm. Went three innings, did get that three-inning save at the end of a game. So, good stuff, man.
Boy, is that not the rarest stat in baseball now, the old three-inning save?
Rare as heck.
Think about, like, Goose Gossage and Bruce Sutter and guys like that. They'd come in and get the two-and-two-third-inning save. Boy, not anymore. You go in and get two outs and you get the heck out of there. Let's try to give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
small. S-M-A-L-L. Right now, my waist is getting small. That's probably not the correct verbiage or the way that it's supposed to be used.
But you got it. That's the word.
Small. Close enough. Small to 72881 right now, Rick. 72881 is the number you text to. Small, S-M-A-L-L, is the word.
If you have small hands, what does that mean?
It means you wear small gloves.
We're continuing What's Up here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. And let's talk about Roquan Smith. Mm-hmm. They found his assailant, John. They did. His name, Lane Shane Durham.
Does he have two
Can't
first names?
He does.
Lane Shane
it
Durham.
It is. Lane Shane Durham is his name. 20 years old.
No relation to West Durham, by the way.
None. He's a UGA student. He turned himself in last night for stealing the jersey, etc. He is also facing two felony charges for entering a lacrosse player's vehicle. Mark Weiser of OnlineAthens.com had the article, but Roquan got all or most of his gear back. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this lacrosse player gets his or her gear back. But Roquan Smith's assailant, I think, is out on bond, but they found the guy.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I said the other day it was 99% chance it was going to be a Georgia fan or student. And I had people tweeting me going, "You're an idiot. How do you know it's not a Florida and an Auburn student?" Because it was on the Georgia campus. Do you think a Georgia Tech guy drove up there and goes, "I'm going to go get Roquan Smith stuff"?
I definitely don't.
No, it was some idiot student who thought he could come up. And unfortunately for him, not unfortunately, he's going to deal with felony charges.
Lane Shane Durham or Lane Shane Drewham. Hey, let's hear from Roquan, who's happy about getting his gear back.
Good morning. I'll personally like to thank everyone for their kind words and prayers, as Athens-Clarke County Police Department worked very hard to identify the individual responsible for this. It was definitely huge. I'd also like to thank the many of you that spread the information over various social media outlets. Due to the prompt attention by Athens-Clarke County Police Department, I was able to recover most of my items, as well as the individual being identified. Just like to thank you guys so much.
Oh, there you go. He didn't sound thrilled, but that's a prepared statement. That's what it is. I wrote this down.
He sounded tired.
He did sound a little bit. By the way, Falcons having a meeting today with Terrell McClain.
Okay.
Defensive tackle Vaughn McClure tweeted out.
What position?
Defensive tackle.
Okay.
He was set to make $3.5 million with the Redskins. They said, so he's probably not going to get that kind of coin. And also, Sunday, let's go get him. It's Orlando City. It's Atlanta United. We're going to get it in. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Some Falcons conversation at 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, same number. Do they have a championship defense? Let's break down the NFC next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and watch 92.9thegame.com.
All right, so we're going to talk Falcons here in a second. Our musical winner this week at Rick and John 929, David Hasselhoff. And we got a little Knight Rider coming back here. Preacher Man joking and duping us all with his submission for least favorite band or artist of The Hoff. Yes, The Hoff. I am happy, though, that Bruce Springsteen didn't win. He was my selection. John went with Silk the Soaker is who John went with, and he didn't win. And then,
or Silk the Shocker, either one.
And then Mark Owens went with some silly kid music that did not win. So we'll be hearing from The Hoff all day.
Final results of the poll at Rick and John 929. David Hasselhoff got 40% of the vote. You guys are some sick people that were voting for David Hasselhoff. Bruce Springsteen, who I thought was going to run away with the poll because I figured there's enough people that actually like Bruce Springsteen where it would win. 31% of the vote. Silk the Shocker, one of the worst rappers in the history of music. 24% of the vote. And whoever this person is that Mark put up, JoJo Siwa, 5% of the vote.
I think it's Sway or
Sway, yeah.
Some boomerang song.
Is it a Sway?
Oh, it's Siwa.
Siwa, that's what it is.
But we're very happy that that didn't win either. So we'll have some weird David Hasselhoff music coming in and out of break. So, John, let's talk.
If anybody's in town from Germany, I'm sure they're going to love this.
No doubt. He's huge in Germany. So is Dirk Nowitzki.
So you're saying Dennis Schroeder approves of the musical choice?
Actually, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure he's going to have the German loyalty to that degree. But let's grade the Falcons' defense position by position and then overall. And, John, I like the yin and yang that we're doing here. Yesterday we asked the question, do the Falcons have a championship-level offense or will they? Because obviously last year they did not. My answer was because of Calvin Ridley, it is a yes. I think we're going to get back to 27, 28, 30-ish points per game and be an elite championship-ready defense. But let's put the screws to the defense.
Well, let's start with the defensive line. And it's let's be honest, it's still a work in progress. There will be depth added to it, as I mentioned, and Vaughn McClure had on Twitter. Falcons meeting with Terrell McClain today. He's already met with the Cowboys, the Dolphins, I believe the 49ers, a guy that was cut by the Redskins, about 305-pounder, could come in and add to that depth along the defensive line. If you look on the D-line, Rick, there is star power there. Tack McKinley, Vic Beasley, Grady Jarrett. Three-plus level defensive linemen. Vic leads the league in sacks 2 years ago. Tack, you think he's a guy in year two, could potentially jump up into double digits. And Grady Jarrett is a very good defensive tackle in this league. Now, he's not Aaron Donald, but he's a guy that definitely gets a lot of respect around the league and is a plus-level player. Here's the problem, though, I have with the defensive line. You've taken a Dontari Poe out. You've taken an Adrian Claiborne out. You've yet to really replace them. Yeah, I get it. Derek Shelby was brought back. He was already here a year ago. Jack Crawford's back in the rotation, but he was already here a year ago for portions of the season. Brooks Reed re-signed, but he was already here. You haven't recovered what you've lost. Deidre Sonata, a guy who actually signed yesterday, leaving Calvin Ridley as the only unsigned rookie, although they'll start rookie minicamp, I believe, today. You haven't really replaced the production that you had before. So I grade the defensive line probably a B. Really good on the front end, decent depth, but not the same depth that you had a year ago.
I'm going to go B+, and I think it has a chance to be even north of that because I'm just getting this feeling that we're applying a different lens to the defensive line that Dimitroff and Quinn are. Mm-hmm. I think they are very content, at least it appears, with what they have. Now, will they add a guy or two? Will they bring back Upshaw or Rubin? Will they bring in Terrell McClain, which you were talking about? I don't know. I hope so. I think we need more depth there. But in terms of the inside-outside swingability of a Shelby, of a Crawford, I feel like they think they have enough on the interior of the defensive line. And whether we agree with that or not, we got to defer to their wisdom. And in terms of the transition from Dontari Poe to Deidre Sonata or whoever is there, John, I want to ask you this question. Do you think that it's possible that our defense is even better without Dontari Poe? Because Dontari Poe, you know, maybe was too big or you know what I'm saying? Maybe a little bit too big to play Dan Quinn's system the way Dan Quinn wants that position played. You know what I'm saying? Is it possible that we get a more productive player in Deidre Sonata, who's what, 15 pounds lighter, 20 pounds lighter than Dontari Poe?
Potentially. But, you know, you're asking a guy to come in Deidre Sonata right now and potentially whoever else has brought in Terrell McClain, Ataba Rubin, and make up for 800 snaps. Because Dontari Poe took almost 800 snaps at D-tackle a year ago, which means he wasn't just a one and two, first and second down run play guy. Think about that. When he was brought in, many people said, you got a guy that can only play on first and second down. The Falcons let him play on third down and try to get after the passer in some scenarios. So I think they took about 1,050 snaps, and he was out there for over 800 of them. I hope Deidre Sonata can be a more mobile, a better penetrator, all of that good stuff, but until I see it on the field, it's not a knock on Sonata because I think Sonata could flat out play this game. Until I see it on a Sunday against NFL caliber offensive linemen, that's still a hole in the middle of the defense.
So Dontari Poe, what was it, about $8.5 million he got per year from Carolina, something like that. Let me ask you another question about Dontari Poe. We're going to address the rest of the defense in this segment and throughout the show, kind of focusing on the Falcons defense today. In terms of Poe in the 8.5. Like, it seems to me that Quinn and Dimitroff are like, okay, we got Crawford, we got Shelby, we got some guys here. So does it feel a little bit like they've chopped up the 8.5 into like three or four guys? Mm-hmm. And they've just said, we could either go 8.5 on one guy, or we could chop it up and we think that, as you said, maybe it's 200 snaps for this guy, 300 snaps for this guy, and 300 snaps for this guy to make up the 800 snaps for Poe. Right? I mean, is that a better way to utilize that $8.5 million?
Probably going to have to be. That's probably going to be a way that they're going to go. and see how that works out. You're not going to give one guy 800 snaps. And as far as the money goes, it had already been divvied up. And when you take some off of Brooks Reed and you cut Derek Shelby and bring him back at a reduced rate, you save some money for other pieces. But I look at the D-line and say, B, potential to be better than that.
What do they have to do to make you raise your grade?
I got
to
get Vic Beasley back to where he was 2 years ago.
Oh, so you're not talking personnel-wise?
I don't think there's anything they can do personnel-wise that would make me go, all right, the grade's better.
How about bring back – so Courtney Upshaw coming back wouldn't cause you to raise your grade?
No.
All right.
He's another part of the rotation.
He has not signed with Philly, by the way.
He
I
did
just
not.
Looked it up.
He did not.
He may, but has not yet. Falcons, please bring Courtney Upshaw back. Do they know something that we don't? Is there something wrong with Courtney Upshaw? Did he suddenly put on 25 pounds that we don't know? I mean, what the hell? I kind of don't get why he's not on the roster, man. So I go.
No, you know what that is? You don't have to. You're in no hurry.
Well, but what if Philly signs him? To me, there is a little bit of a hurry. So, like, Courtney Upshaw suddenly has a little bit of leverage. When you go dance the dance with somebody, whether they sign you or not, that to me creates a little bit of leverage. It certainly creates a little bit of fear in me that we're going to lose him.
It does to me as well. And he's a guy, obviously, once they start taking meetings. But they could be looking and just saying, hey, Terrell McClain's a guy that might be better fitted for us. And that's why they're meeting with him today.
Just get a DT. Okay, just get another DT. Rick and John breaking down the Falcons defense here, asking the question, is it championship level? I think it is, John. I think it is. We've got a couple of questions that need positive answers, but I think we're going to have a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense. I think we're going to be one of the most balanced teams in the NFL. And when you equate in or compute in the uptick in special teams play, which we all anticipate with Bethel being brought in and Gage being brought in, they have a chance to be the most balanced team in all of football.
Let's move on to the linebackers, and we'll spend some more time throughout the duration of the show breaking down D-line, linebackers, whatnot. Do you feel they have a championship-level defense? We'll put up a Vision Computers Twitter poll as well with the same thing. But linebackers, what do you think the linebackers grade out as?
I would have to A-, B-plus. I think our linebackers are terrific. I think Devondre Campbell has come a long way and is now a very versatile Swiss Army knife type of guy. You can bring him off the edge. You can drop him back in coverage. He's a hybrid contemporary 2018 NFL linebacker.
Yep.
And John, I meant to say, and obviously Deion Jones is ridiculous. He's one of the elite players in the NFL at his position. The key is Duke Riley. Like, do we get an uptick out of Duke Riley? Is he on the field more? When the 11 is out there, or is he with the 11 on special teams? So that Riley gives that group some big upside, but I'll go A-, even as is.
I will as well. I think the potential right now for Duke Riley will be to be a much better player. And Deion Jones spoke about it. I saw some quotes from him the other day where he said, don't worry about Duke Riley. He'll come into his own in year number two. And obviously they have a relationship going back to LSU. The fact that you're moving Vic Beasley back to DN permanently.
Love it.
I like it, too. I don't want Vic Beasley dropping into coverage. I know he's versatile enough to do it, but where do I want Vic Beasley? Put your hand in the dirt and go beat an offensive lineman and go get a quarterback.
I want him whiffing on a dunk attempt over the goalpost after a strip sack return touchdown.
Not me.
That's what I want.
That field was kind of janky that day in L.A., and all I could envision was the turf not catching and a knee popping.
You didn't see a Grammatica scenario, did you?
Yeah, because he went the jump and kind of slipped and had to go with the finger roll instead of the dunk. And I said, oh, no, we didn't want that to happen. That was after the golden sombrero.
If
or the big kahuna, whatever it's called.
Yeah, the big kahuna. If you're driving, don't do this right now because you need to pay attention to the road and not kill yourself or others. But if you get a minute and you want to laugh, do Grammatica ACL injury. and you are going to see one of the greatest bloopers in sports history. Was it Martine?
Or, I think it was Bill. I think it was Bill. Craig is saying both of them.
Craig, come on here.
Bill and Martine, it was the same week they were for the Tampa and Arizona.
Shut up.
Yes.
They both celebrated and popped the ACL in the same
ESPN
week.
ESPN loved it.
I knew it was one of them.
Yes,
I didn't know
both.
It was both. Oh, my God.
Bill and Martine Grammatica.
Oh, my God.
Unreal.
What is it with Tampa and idiot kickers? What happened to Robbie Aguayo? Where's he at right now? Him and Blair Walsh need to go to kicker camp.
No, Blair Walsh just needs to become a stockbroker, an insurance salesman, a cop, attorney.
I don't want him as
playing football.
I don't want him as a stockbroker because I'm afraid he's going to miss the opportunity for me to make some money.
He would be wide left, by the way.
Yeah.
He'd just shank that baby right to the left. What are we listening to here? David Hasselhoff. Send all of your
suggestions,
criticism, and hate to Paul Bible at his personal Twitter account for the Hoff.
Hey, Atlanta soccer fans, join 92.9 The Game next Saturday, May the 19th, from noon to 4 at Carriage Kia in Woodstock for a live broadcast with John Chuckery and Randy McMichael, plus a special Five Stripes meet and greet with Atlanta soccer player Kevin Kratz. For more info, go to 92.9thegame.com. We take a break. We come back. We read between the lines with CCV. What are we reading?
Well, it looks like a guy decided that $217 million wasn't worth more than playing video games, so we'll definitely talk about that. And Steve Kerr takes a shot at the Rockets like we expected him to.
Ah, some Golden State love from CCV. Some would say predictable. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wait, what? What was that?
Let me see you, Brown.
Did you hear that? Well, that's just wrong.
What the hell?
MO brings a noise you may have missed or need to hear again with Read Between the Lines with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rick and John in the Kia Studios on a Rivalry Friday. We are counting down to Atlanta United at Orlando City FC. Pre-game at 5:30 and the kick at 6. Just talking with Mike Conti and Tata Martino said McCann will not go. Mm. He said Escobar will not go. So we're going to be down a couple of defenders, and so we got to make that up. But we got some sound for you, local. We got national. We got it all for you here with DJ CCB.
Well, you know, I have to kind of kick it with the Warriors, keep it coming, like as John said. So everybody knows the playoffs start now, the real playoffs start on Monday when Houston plays the Warriors, and everybody's saying the Houston's more hungrier than the Warriors. Warriors have been there, done that. So Steve Kerr had this to say about them being hungrier.
I like where we are. Our guys have rings. That's a good position to be in. To me, the hardest championship is the first one as an individual player and as a team. You don't know.
Is he right?
I don't necessarily agree. Okay, the hardest one, yeah, is the first one as a group because you're trying to learn how to win. But I think complacency does set in. I think once you've won a couple, you know, what is it, 2 out of 3 now for Golden State, trying to go for 3 out of 4, the complacency is the regular season and the easy playoff rounds, which they've gone through. I think they do get more focused when they play a team like this, but I think it is harder to repeat because you're now the team with the circle on your back. You're the bullseye and everybody's coming after you.
I'm going to take the other side on that. I think once you break through and you're a champion, I think you almost relax. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost a calm comes over you like, we've done it. We've gone to the top of the mountain, put our flag in, and it's stuck. And I think that's huge. So I definitely will take the other side on that. And if you heard some Phil Jackson in there, mm-hmm. bingo, okay? Phil Jackson is one of the great shade throwers in NBA history, and that was major shade thrown by Steve Kerr. And what Kerr, it's the mind games. Going back to the Zen Master, what he's trying to do is get Houston, Chris Paul, first trip to the West Finals. James Harden got the Romo gene. Mike D'Antoni frequently gets out-coached in huge playoff series. So he wants to play on their mind and their confidence level and drop it down, and I think that was well played.
Do the Rockets win more than 2 games?
CCV and I were talking about this. I think Golden State gets a split in the first 2, mm-hmm. comes back and goes bang, bang, they're up 3-1. Going back to Houston, Houston probably breathes life into that series at that point, wins that last home game, and then Golden State closes them out in game 6. Remember, Golden State doesn't have home court advantage to start the series. I say Golden State in 6.
I've got Golden State in 6. I've got Cleveland in 6. And we'll get the fourth time in a row, these same finals in which Golden State will win in 5.
Let me get back to you on a Cleveland-Boston prediction.
All right.
So we talked a little bit about it. David Price signed a 7-year, $217 million contract. It's about 3 or 4 years into it now. And all of a sudden, he's kind of forgotten how to pitch, and everyone thinks it has to do with Fourth Night. Now, if you guys don't know, it's a popular game that everybody's playing. My son plays it all the time.
Our kids play it.
And his grades have gone.
Is it stupid or is it okay?
No, it's awesome, actually. It's pretty awesome. If you're a gamer, it's pretty awesome.
Okay.
So,
well, what happened to his grades?
Well, my kids, just like David Price, he can't pitch, and now my kids' grades have went down the same way.
Uh-oh.
So I think this could be a factor, and he was actually asked about it, and he spoke to that topic.
On a broadcast on ESPN, they made it, kept talking about what I was going through, and then video games in the clubhouse, like, that's the only thing I do when I get to the field. You know, I go to the field, I play video games, and I attempt to throw baseballs. That's not the case. That stinks. But I'm gonna get through this. You know, this is nothing compared to what I went through last year. So I'll be ready on Saturday.
So apparently on the broadcast, he was talking about carpal tunnel of some sort, and they were saying the reason he has it potentially is playing too much Fortnite. Now, I've had time in my video game playing days where the hands would be sore, especially the old Nintendo because it had the square controller, and you'd have blisters on your hands because you were doing too much on that thing. The new controllers are set up so, you know, aerodynamic where they fit in your hands perfectly, and you're using, you know, you're using the little joystick thing on there. I don't ever get tired. Now, I also don't play video games for hours at a time anymore, other than last weekend, but even then, it's not as bad. But Fortnite is a game that kids are playing like crazy. The reason being, Rick, it's a free game. You download it on whatever your game system is. It's a community game. And the kid, it's sort of like Call of Duty, but it's sort of like a battle royal. And you're just trying to be the last person standing.
David Price is god-awful this year. He has given up 21 earned runs in 37 Yuck. Innings. That is a 5.11 ERA. Last three games, guys and girls, he has given up 16 earned runs in roughly 16 innings. He's been as bad as it gets.
That's not winning.
But he's a stud. He should turn it around. Stop playing Fortnite.
Yeah, and tell my kid that too. Kevin Love as well, he says that one thing about LeBron is wherever he goes, drama tends to follow LeBron, which is shocking. And so he spoke to the media about this whole drama that comes with LeBron.
You know, a lot of the teams in the league have stuff that you know, doesn't come to surface and we don't find out about it. It just so happens that kind of since Bron came back here that has been the case, and it just tends to follow us, good or bad. But, you know, we've always came out the other end in a very positive way.
It's what happens when you're the best player in the league. And LeBron James, ever since he decided to leave Cleveland the first time, there's always been talk, where's he going to go? There's always been talk about him truly being the general manager of the team. As long as they're winning, all the drama throughout the year really shouldn't matter. And that's a scenario where I've always said, I don't care what Cleveland or wherever he plays does games 1 through 82. Get me to the playoffs, then let's see the real team stand up. And they've done it again. Here they are back in the conference finals.
I totally want to pick Boston in 7 in this series, but I think it's Cleveland in 6. And I want to dare to be different. I want a different result. And I know it's Boston, and we don't cheer for that city, but I'm just tired of the Cleveland thing, man. I really am. All right, let's play a local cut here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Here's Snicker on Freddie Freeman, your guy, John.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what the guy's capable of. He does that. It's not even like anything that's – you don't even say wow anymore when he does that because it's just him.
5 for 5 yesterday for Freddie Freeman. That helps your batting average when you're playing fantasy baseball.
It certainly does. And look, I have Foltynewicz. I have Newcomb on my team in Grant McCauley's league. I have Newcomb on my other team as well. It's very fun. I'm fully invested in the Braves. I watch virtually every minute of every game. It's fun to have a couple of their pitchers, man. And mm-hmm. these are young flamethrowers who are just zero after zero after zero, man. It is super, super fun. John, we went through a 3-year malaise of nothing being at stake, losing 2 out of every 3, yep. right? And now the Braves are literally the Philadelphia 76ers of Major League Baseball. Think about it. Who's north of us in the standings? The Arizona Diamondbacks, I think, are yep. the only team in the National League north of us, right? We're not wild card-ish.
No.
We're like division winner-ish mm-hmm. and like starting to kind of sort of dream big.
Well, and the thing is now, Freddie doesn't have all the pressure. You've got Markakis hitting. You've got Ozzie Albies hitting. You've hit Ronald Acuna hitting. Ender's starting to come around. Dansby will be back, and he had a good start to the year. Freddie actually can go up there and just look at pitches and take the one that he wants and slap it all over the park.
Have you ever seen a guy not bring the bat all the way through like Freddie Freeman? He has literally no follow through. He like brings it through and just barely follows through and the ball just flies off his bat. But almost every guy takes the hand off and wands the bat back. Freddie doesn't do that.
We'll take some of your calls next, 404-741-0929. You can text. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Do the Falcons have a championship defense? We'll continue to break down who else in the NFC does. That's all coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.